I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. Academy Award-winning filmmaker Michael Moore is a man on a mission. Love him or hate him, you've got to admit he knows how to get your attention. His documentary Fahrenheit 9/11 offered a scathing critique of government policies, both leading up to and following the September 11th attacks. During the 2004 elections, the film became a political lightning rod. It mobilized legions of Americans on both sides of the aisle. Well, Michael Moore is back, and in his new film, Sicko, he sets his sights on the private healthcare industry.
There was actually one place on American soil that had free, universal healthcare.
Which way to Guantanamo Bay?
Detainees representing a threat to our national security are given access to top-notch medical facilities.
Permission to enter. I have three 9/11 rescue workers.
They just wanted some medical attention, the same kind that the evildoers are getting.
Hello?
I recently caught up with Moore, and he told me he believes our healthcare system is failing millions of Americans, especially African Americans.
You have almost double the number of African Americans who don't have health insurance as opposed to white Americans. And of course, this goes along with all the, you know, I mean, the latest statistics with median household income, nearly $50,000 for white families, around $30,000 for African American families. I mean, it's healthcare is just one more example of our unique American ability to punish people simply because they are of a particular class or race.
If you had a magic wand and you could wave it over the United States healthcare system, would you try to structure it like, say, France or Cuba, or would you create something different, and what would that be?
Well, first of all, healthcare would be free. You would never have to worry about paying for anything because it would be completely funded by the government. Number two, we would shift our whole emphasis with medicine toward prevention. This is what the Cubans do actually very well because they don't have any money. They only spend $251 a person each year on healthcare. We spend around $7,000. But the way that they're able to do that and end up with healthier people, better infant mortality rate than we have, is because they spend so much of their efforts on prevention. You know, when people have healthcare available to them at no cost, at the first sign of an illness, of a suspicious growth or lump, they go to the doctor right away because they're not having to think about, geez, I don't want to go, it's going to cost me so much money, et cetera. They go right away. And when you go right away, you have the chance of catching something in its early stages and fixing it. And that's what doesn't happen in this country. People put off going to the doctor. And when they do that, they sometimes end up losing their life.
Let's turn to your filmmaking. Where do you get your ideas, your financing? How long does it take for you to make a doc? And where did the idea for this come from?
Well, the idea came from, I had a TV show called The Awful Truth back in the late 90s. And I did this story on a man who, he had health insurance. He worked at a pharmaceutical, or a drugstore actually, drugstore chain. And he needed a pancreas transplant, and his HMO said they would not pay for the transplant. And because they wouldn't pay for it, he was going to die. So I went with him to the headquarters of the HMO, and we conducted his funeral on the lawn of the headquarters, with him present, of course, and a priest and a casket and pallbearers and bagpipes and the whole bit.
I didn't know Chris for very long. He was a great guy. He had a lot of integrity, a rich sense of humor. And in fact, I remember something that he often used to say.
What was he used to say?
Just want a pancreas.
He used to say, I just want a pancreas.
They were so horrified by what we were doing outside in front of their building that within 3 days, they called the man and said, oh, we've changed our mind. We're going to pay for the pancreas transplant. And that man is alive to this day. And I thought when that happened, geez, you know, this is just, you know, the power of our camera here saved this man's life. What else could we do if we did maybe a film to try and not just save one life, but try and save, you know, many of the people who die each year because the health insurance company, you know, won't pay for the bill, or they won't let you have health insurance because you've got a pre-existing condition, or any of the other, you know, crazy ways that we have to make it difficult for people in this country. And so that's where the idea of the film came about. I never set out to make a movie unless I believe it's something that I would like to go see on a Friday night. You know, you've already worked hard all week. The last thing you need is to go to a documentary that's just going to drag you down even further. So I try to make these films with a lot of humor and satire and pretty much a rock and roll sensibility, I hope.
Well, you know, I saw that segment on your TV show, and, you know, the guy's wearing a T-shirt with a pancreas on the back of it. And you do a lot of things where you take people out of what might be considered a traditional documentary context and you set up confrontations. In this film, you take rescue workers from 9/11 who are having health problems to Guantanamo Bay's military detention center, where if incarcerated, they would get free health care. Now, do you worry that issues or scenes like the one in your TV show, like the one in your movie, those could be considered stunts? Are you worried that those will alienate viewers or make your work less serious?
You could call the march from Selma to Montgomery a stunt too, done for publicity, to bring attention to a very important issue. I mean, throughout history, you know, those who have tried to stand up against power and change things, do things that upset people and cause controversy. And that's not the reason not to do it, because somebody doesn't like it. But ultimately, I'm trying to use satire and humor as a way to expose that which I believe is, you know, things that are being conducted by those in power and causing a lot of harm to those who don't have power. So I operate with a basic belief that people, when they see my work, and they have to see it, to, you know, they can't just go by Fox News telling them what to think. But if they actually go to see it, I do believe the majority of people who see it will respond in a very positive way. And that's generally what happens. I'm doing it in my way, in a way that I think will help bring some of these issues to the national spotlight. And that's been the case with, you know, all my films, and it gets people talking, and it sort of moves the topic onto the national agenda, and I'm happy when that happens.
Well, continuing on that line, you have a lot of instances in which, you know, for example, in your TV show, this man was able to get his transplant. Walmart changed its policies after the discussion of Columbine. But are you afraid that sometimes picking out these specific stories accomplishes individual goals but doesn't really change the national framework?
Oh, absolutely. But it's through telling the individual story that I think brings the larger issue into people's minds. It moves them in a way where they start to think then politically, in a way that they wouldn't have thought politically. You know, obviously the point of my film is not just to get the bullets off the shelves at Walmart or Kmart or whatever. I'm actually going for a much larger thing here. But when I make these films, I realize that, you know, if you've decided to make a movie, that means you're going to tell a story, and a story has to have characters, and you have to try and develop that in a way that makes it interesting. I'm not just, you know, I don't make these movies just to give a sermon. You know, if I wanted to do that, I'd go back to the seminary and, you know, be a priest. You know, or if it was just a political speech I wanted to give, well, maybe I should run for office or start a political organization. But I'm not doing that. I'm making movies. And so that means I'm committing to telling a story, and I'm asking people to give up a chunk of their time, go to the theater, sit in the dark, and watch what's up on the screen. And so I need to make that as compelling and moving as possible.
I want you to read the tea leaves a little bit on the presidential race. I know that during one interview after the film came out, you were asked to talk about Senator Clinton. And, for example, do you think that any of the candidates, Republican or Democratic or Independent, has the will to push forward a health care agenda? And secondly, because Senator Clinton was so identified with the health care, ultimately what became a failed initiative during her husband's administration, do you think that she will have better or worse luck if elected in dealing with this issue?
Well, I'm pretty underwhelmed at this moment with the candidates on both this issue and a lot of the issues. I mean, Dennis Kucinich is very good on this health care issue, but I don't know how serious the chances are or how serious that candidacy is in terms of, you know, Dennis Kucinich being the next president of the United States. Although I don't want to discount anybody who's going to come forward and say the right thing. Mrs. Clinton, I think, tried to do something heroic back in the 90s. She wanted universal health care for everyone, but she botched it in the sense that she still wanted to have a place at the table for the private insurance companies. You know, she did not really want to go after them. And boy, they were going to go after her, and they crucified her. Now, as I point out in the movie, she's the second largest recipient in the U.S. Senate of healthcare industry money. So it's very sad, you know, to see that happen. But on the other hand, I you know, she hasn't really come forth with her specific plan yet. And so there's still a chance, I think, for the public to have some influence on her. And I encourage people to write her and tell her what they think should happen, how we've got to get profit and the private insurance companies out of the equation here. They should have no business. We need a national universal health care system where people do not have to pay for it when they go to see the doctor.
Final question, and it's personal, but I talk on News and Notes quite a bit about my struggle with weight, and it's significant. You've been criticized for being, well, a man of size and not taking enough personal responsibility for your own health. Where do individuals fit into this whole issue? Because, you know, and I know this and I'm dealing with it, obesity can lead to joint problems, heart attacks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, fortunately, I've been actually very healthy and have had no problems. And where I come from in the Midwest, actually, if you were to come back with me where I live, they call me Twiggy. I'm pretty skinny compared to a lot of the other guys where I'm from. But your point is a very good one. First of all, in terms of myself, there's no bigger critic of me on that regard than myself. And in fact, while I was making this movie, I said, you know, to myself, there's something hypocritical here, Mike, about you're making a movie on healthcare and you're not even taking care of your own health. So that's what I started to do. I started to go for a walk every day and started eating more fruits and vegetables. And in 3 months, I lost 30 pounds.
Wow.
And just by doing a few simple, simple things, no big deal, didn't join a spinning class or aerobics class or, you know, didn't go on any big diet or anything, just did a few things differently. And what I tell people is that until we fix this broken healthcare system, if you don't want to find yourself in that system, one of the ways you can prevent that is by taking care of yourself. Listen, the problem here is that anybody can get sick at any time. Illness is a complete crapshoot. It's a spin of the wheel. And at that moment, when you do, an illness befalls you, you should not have to worry about, oh my God, am I going to be able to pay for this? Your whole attention should be on getting better and not about how you may lose your house as a result of these medical bills. That has got to stop. I mean, number one cause of bankruptcy in this country, it's the number one cause of homelessness, medical bills. Not a single person in Canada has ever lost their home because of medical bills or any of these other countries. And we shouldn't allow that in this country either.
Well, Michael, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me on. And let's go for a walk.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Line me up. Michael Moore is the Academy Award-winning filmmaker behind such movies as Roger and Me, Bowling for Columbine, and his latest, Sicko.